Diane Pittman is a physician board certified in family medicine. She served the people of the Leech Lake Band of Chippewa through Indian Health Services for almost 30 years before retiring to start her own practice in 2014 called True North Healthcare. She's here today to talk with us about the local response to COVID-19. Diane, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So how are your patients and the community of Bemidji responding to COVID-19 that you're hearing and seeing?
Well, as you can imagine, there's a lot of confusion and anxiety. This is something we've never experienced before. And so right now, our primary job seems to be talking to people, making sure that they get good, solid information, and managing the challenges that come with the unknown.
Yeah, I think that, I guess I should ask you, does that anxiety that we may have from all the things we're hearing could affect our health as well? So that's something we also need to be managing, isn't it?
Precisely, yes. And this is such a strange crisis in some ways, because it's coming on us slowly. We can watch it happening, and there's a lot of downtime right now. We have not seen the surge here in Bemidji, although we have three cases now that have been reported in the Beltrami County. And so we're sort of preparing and waiting, and it's actually a beautiful time of year to look at the distractions of spring as we do this. I'm looking out my window right now at the sunshine and watching the snow recede, and it's been a joy to see how many people are out walking.
Yeah. Have you been out on your bike, I'm assuming?
I have been out on my bike, and it's still skiing as well. So
yeah.
Nice spring skiing.
Yeah, I keep trying to remind myself about that the lakes are going to open up and that we're going to start to, even though this is going to continue on, we're going to see some things outside that are going to help lift our spirits as well.
Right. And, I know people are anxious and are grasping at things that they feel will make them safer and healthier. But really, there's three things. There's eating well. And that means lots of brightly colored fruits and vegetables, not too much sugar, getting out and moving, and getting enough sleep. Sleep is huge for the immune system. And so really encouraging people to take some of this downtime from work and really look at those things.
So, Dr. Pittman, what about, I've heard some people who are believing that there is going to be some magical cure, or they're seeing a product that's being advertised on Facebook. How do you explain to them what those might mean?
Well, we're hoping that for the severest cases, the science is going to bring us closer to something that will help those people. But there is nothing out there that is worth spending money on or taking a risk. And we've seen, sadly, a death. Somebody took chloroquine, which has been discussed as a possible treatment, and died from an overdose of chloroquine. So we don't want to follow those things. Really, the solid and proven things for making sure your immune system responds healthily to this virus are what we talked about: movement, food, and sleep.
So what are some of the symptoms of the coronavirus that people should start to pay attention to? And if they do have them, what then do you recommend?
Okay, well, the classic presentation for this coronavirus is a sore throat and a non-productive cough. So a dry cough, a dryness in the throat, and fever. So when people have those symptoms, we get concerned. Now, fortunately, by far, the majority of people, even people in the high-risk groups, they will have these symptoms for a few days. They will get better on their own, and they won't require any medical attention, and they will recover fully. The problem with this virus is in some people, it progresses from an upper respiratory infection to a lower respiratory infection, and then people develop pneumonia. And those are the people you hear about that are the most ill and that require medical attention. So when somebody calls me and says, you know, doc, I got a cough, I'm asking them, do you have a fever? I'm asking them, do you have a runny nose or a stuffy nose? Because the coronavirus doesn't do that. A lot of the other viruses that we're seeing around right now do. And so it's reassuring if you don't have a fever and if you have, you know, the usual runny, drippy nose, stuffiness, sinus kinds of symptoms. If people have symptoms of the coronavirus and they're mild, we really encourage you to just stay home. Stay home and isolate as much as you can from your family members, and don't go out at all. Do you need to be tested or not? Usually we're not testing people who have mild symptoms. Testing takes several days to come back, and we've had some problems with limitations on the availability. So we're careful about who we decide to test. So the safest thing is to stay home if your symptoms are mild. If you start to develop shortness of breath, chest pains, and that's the time that you need to go in and see a physician. And again, most of us are accepting phone calls any time of the day or night to talk people through, you know, is this something, A, that needs to be tested or not, and B, is this something where you do need to go get medical attention or not?
So you mentioned there are three positive tests in the Bemidji area. What does that mean to you, though, about people who may have coronavirus but may have the mild symptoms or have not been tested yet? What's your feel on what the numbers might be? I don't know if you can answer that, but...
Well, certainly way more than the three. So the reason this virus is doing what it's doing is it's got this combination of how infectious it is and how easy it is for people to be infected and not really know that they're infected. So they're the ones that are going around and spreading this. But unfortunately, it is nasty enough that there is a significant percentage of people who will get severely ill, and the percentage of those will die. What we're trying to do with all of our social isolation, our distancing, our quarantines, our isolation, is to trying to slow the spread of this virus so that we can treat and save the people that get most severely ill. If we all get sick at once, then the system is overwhelmed and people die that don't need to die.
I'm sure you are thinking about some of the vulnerable populations, people who may not have homes right now, who can't always be physically distanced from each other, also people who might be living in abusive situations. What are some of your thoughts as a medical professional on these populations?
Well, certainly very vulnerable. The community has been stellar about paying attention to our vulnerable population and doing things to help protect them, including the homeless population. I know the Wolf Center has been moved to the annex at the Super 8 so that we can contain and isolate people that are ill. The Sanford and the county have been very proactive in addressing that. We've reached out to People's Church, and the homeless population presents some real challenges because the availability of hand washing, even the concept of social distancing, is sometimes difficult in those kinds of situations. And so we're having to be very flexible and vigilant in how we serve people.
Tomorrow, during our extra hour, the morning show, we're talking with a leader at Advocates for Family Peace in Itasca, St. Louis counties. I know calls have gone up quite a bit for domestic violence during this time, as there isn't the normal escapes of school or work. And so those are also, if people know people who are in situations that may not be as safe as you would like, reach out to them if they feel comfortable with you. It's a great time to just kind of keep checking in on people that you know. I mean, it's generally a good idea right now, don't you think?
Absolutely. You know, you were playing "We're in this together" as we came into this conversation, and that's exactly what it is. And any way you can reach out. I talked to somebody today who was who needed to visit a vulnerable person, and what they did is she sat outside the window and had a phone conversation with the person. So you had face-to-face in a creative way that was still safe.
Yeah, I think we're all trying to get a little more creative in that way to keep ourselves together. We sure appreciate your time and the work you're doing. That's Dr. Diane Pittman from True North Healthcare. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Heidi.